It's the Empower Radio Show, taking your business to the next level through engaging interviews, tips, and insight. We talk with the experts in every area of online marketing. We discuss the trends in social media, SEO, and how to maximize your online presence. Empower Radio is entertaining and enlightening. Now, here's your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey, folks. Thanks so much for joining me today. This is Linda Ballesteros, and I am, as he said, your host for today. Thanks for joining us on Empower. I always appreciate it when someone spends time out of their busy day to come and listen. You know, whether you're listening live, whether you're listening to the recording, I just appreciate it because, you know, time is that one commodity that you just can't get back. So I appreciate it. You know, we all as entrepreneurs find ourselves dealing with certain areas of our business that is really not the reason we went into business. If whether you are great at what your widget is, there's going to be a lot of other aspects to your business that are not going to be why you went into business. But I tell you what, you can't avoid it. Whether it's marketing, whether it is networking, whether it is building a website, it doesn't make any difference. All of those components have to be there for you to have a thriving business. And so that's why we have our guest today is Mario Peshev, and he is here to talk about whether it is your website or your personal brand, or maybe you just can't do any of those, so you decide you want to outsource that. Well, Mario is actually the founder of the WordPress. He's a WordPress architect at Devrix, and he is also an outsource consultant. He's been building software solutions for the past 10 years, and he's a seasoned technical trainer at universities and large companies. So just because you're an entrepreneur, don't think that you're alone, because the companies, any business is going to be having to face the same elements of running a business as you do. So that's why I'd like for you to help me to welcome Mario. Mario, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Linda, and hey, everyone.
Well, I tell you, the first thing that everybody absolutely has to have is the website, but it's one of those things, Mario, that one builds on the other. So unless you really know what your personal brand is going to look like, your business brand, then you really can't even start the website, can you?
Right, absolutely. Building the website is, you know, it's an interesting concept. Like, this is our main business, to be honest, and every time we talk to entrepreneurs or mom-and-pop shops, we tell them that we can't really help them unless we spend a lot of time actually help with their branding, with their goals, with their overall planning for their business. And generally, the main business with the main problem with most entrepreneurs or small businesses is that, as you said a bit earlier, they like to think of their widgets and kind of dig in what they're best at. But in essence, when they're running a business, one of the most important things is that you need to think about the business as a whole. There's a large pool of things that you need to do, which is be it marketing and building a website, finances, sales, and growing your business, or if you'd like to grow further, then you need to do outsourcing. There's so many different aspects in running a business than just doing what you're best at, which is kind of a tricky thing. And that's one of the reasons that you need to have your branding vision about your own company. You need to have your own processes. You need to have your goals for the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. And then you'll be able to build a website that reflects all of your entire vision and to help you to get, take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're helping someone to flush out their personal brand and their mission statement and their vision, what are some of the areas that you have the entrepreneur, the person that's sitting across the table from you, so to speak, what are some of the questions you ask them to help them to define that? Because I bet, Mario, there are many times they don't have a clue when they come to you?
Right. Well, the most fascinating thing I've seen is that most people who are trying to grow their business or who are employees and are trying to move to entrepreneurship or to building a business is that they only think about what they do as something that they like to do. But they don't really, they only see half of the story. They don't see the other half, which is actually bringing value to the customer. And usually my first question is, what kind of value do you bring to your customers? Because they come to me and they say, okay, I'm a designer and I want to do design. I say, okay, that's fine, but there are millions or tens of millions or hundreds of millions of designers out there. And what's that you actually do in a way that you're actually helping your customers, right? Do you build branding materials so that they can position themselves better offline? Do you help with advertising campaigns by building the graphics or banners or something else? Do you design websites so that you can move to the next level together with your clients? Just being able to do something doesn't really solve a problem by itself, right? So one of the main things that we're trying to discuss in terms of personal branding and in building the mission statement and the vision is trying to focus around the common statement, I do this for that kind of niche in order to solve this problem. So this is kind of the magic words that everyone needs to know for themselves in order to help their customers and identify their target audience as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mario, I find that many people go into doing something because maybe it's something, maybe they carried that over from corporate, or maybe they just saw a need in it. Why did you decide to go into this industry and become an expert like at WordPress and helping entrepreneurs with websites and branding?
So I started in the technical industry in general, in the IT world, in I think 1999, so close to 20 years ago, sorry. And I moved through different, steps on the company ladder, so to speak. I did quite a lot of different things. I worked in several different companies as a developer at the end. But I was really, I wasn't able to find the right fit company-wise. I wasn't working with the right managers that were inspired to help their customers. I wasn't working in the right team that kind of embraces the startup culture, right? And I was more passionate about solving problems. I was more passionate about actually talking to clients and finding out what's their real problem, what are the different ways to help them. And that was something that was stopping me from actually being in touch with my clients and be able to help them in the best possible manner, not just, steal their money. That's half of the story. And the other half is that both companies that I worked with as a developer before I moved to entrepreneurship, they were really strict in terms of business hours. The standard corporate structure, 9 to 6 business hours, I had to do 3 hours a day of traveling. It was a tedious and boring story where most of the time I was working solo on a project and my managers were even outside of the country for months, but they still insisted for me to travel 3 hours a day just to go to the office, right? What I tried to do is kind of change the message. So I said, okay, I want to do this. I want to solve problems for my clients, and I want to take my energy and leverage it in the best possible manner so that whenever I'm in an energy peak, I can exploit that energy and do much more than what I'm supposed to do at the office, behind the gray doors in the cubicle space.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your story is, in a way, very typical of what has led us to a very virtual business model now, because I would say 5-10 years ago, there weren't as many companies, especially even large companies that you see now, that had the mm-hmm. virtual staff that you see happening right now. And there's so many advantages of having a virtual staff. So, Mario, how did you find those, because I know that you have several employees, how did you go about finding the great talent that's out there and tapping into using the virtual model and making it work for your clients?
Right. That's a great question. So getting back to the previous story for a quick bit, when I switched from a full-time work at the office to freelance, one of the first things I wanted to do is actually start working from coffee shops. Basically, I was working for long hours at the office. I was commuting for quite a long time, and I really didn't have enough time to actually spend any time at coffee shops, just meeting with friends or anything like that. So when I got out of the company structure, when I quit my job, I spent 2 or 3 months working from coffee shops every single day. And finally, I realized that I really don't have to be at the office for as long as I have a computer and I have internet and I'm able to meet with clients. And then I figured out that remote work is something that's attainable. Remote working is something that's totally doable, and especially if you're working online in any possible manner, just talking to people or preparing spreadsheets or doing designs, or being a real estate agent, you don't really have to be in an office, right? You can do your work from any single place in the world as long as you have a laptop or a phone and internet connection. That's pretty much it. And once I started thinking this way, I realized that I really don't need an office and I can work wherever I want. Back then, I was teaching a lot of training courses around the world, and I was able to take my freelance around the world together with my training courses, so that I'm teaching a training during the day, and then I'm doing some development at night. And when I figured that out, and I realized that it's actually possible, and it's working out for about a year, I started to grow my portfolio, and I started to grow my network with connections, and suddenly I had more work than I can take on. And then I started working with other freelancers, because back then I was a freelancer myself. And I outsourced to a few people, we were working together, it was a really great fit, and eventually I decided to take on an employee. And I hired one person, we worked together for a few months, then I hired another one, and then I started to combine hiring people with outsourcing work to freelancers for a few years, and nowadays we are 15 people strong, and we have a large pool of freelancers and other agencies that we are outsourcing to or partner with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, making that first step clearly of bringing in employees, it's a mind shift for an entrepreneur, because many of us entrepreneurs, we, like you said, either work for coffee shops, we work from our home, and the thought of bringing on someone else into the company, that's a little scary step. That's quite a jump, isn't it, Mario?
Yeah, it is, but, you know, it really depends on what you're looking for. Like, back then, like I said, I was really happy when I was able to help my clients. And since I was unable to do that when I was my old job, since I didn't have direct contact with them and I had various constraints from my managers, it was a great opportunity for me to help my clients when I got to entrepreneurship. And once my network started to grow, I realized that I have a lot of people that need my help, and I was simply eager to help as many of them as possible, just because this is giving me the satisfaction. And additionally, the more you grow, the more challenging projects you tackle, and the larger assignments you can get on board. And that said, the only way to actually take the next step and basically move to the next level is to cooperate with other people one way or the other. There are different models to do that. You can cooperate with other entrepreneurs. You can, cooperate with other agencies. But the most basic one, the main one probably, is simply to start to hire. And then you can be the person responsible for taking on the right projects and picking which clients you would like to work with, and be able to make a larger impact simply because you have more manpower behind yourself. And that said, you can solve bigger problems.
Mm-hmm. And to do work with other people, to do maybe collaboration work with other entrepreneurs, you have to make those connections. And you talked about you had built up a network. Now, how did you build up your network, and what was the most effective way for you to make connections with those that you could actually joint venture or collaborate with and feel good about that?
So basically what I did was identify the niche that I'm in and split it in two different directions. The first one was potential clients, or the clients that we can help in the best possible manner. Like, for example, back then it was small business owners with small shops or businesses. Nowadays it's generally large international brands such as automotive manufacturers and so forth. But this was the first thing I tried to identify. Like, based on my skills, based on my size, based on my availability, I can help that group of people. And the second bit was, what sort of help could I get, or how can I improve myself, or what can I do in order to get better? And this was also something that I was able to split into different ways. So the first one was I had to find people that do the same thing that I do, like entrepreneurs with the same specialty, with the same skill set, in order to learn from them, in order to share experience with them, in order to work together with them on projects and learn new things in the best possible manner. Because like that group of people, they were working on the same type of projects and they were facing similar challenges, but working together with them was a great way to cooperate and collaborate and share knowledge and get better and learn from one another. And the second group of people that we could collaborate with are people with complementary knowledge. Like, for example, I'm a developer and I needed a designer. And they also needed a marketing person, and they also needed a PR person, and they also needed a salesperson, and a system administrator, and a network guy, and so forth. So having that, you know, it was like a chart, made it really easy so that I can identify the two main branches. The first one is potential clients, the large group of customers that we're looking for. The second one was people we need to work with, people with the same skill like mine, so that we can grow better and provide the same service multiplied, and which is kind of vertically, and people with tangible skills, with complementary skills that we can grow horizontally by extending our services offering.
You know, Mario, I love what you're saying, because what I have seen so many times is that entrepreneurs out there, they avoid anyone that does the same thing that they do. But that can be a huge opportunity to partner with them to get a job done and maybe even learn something along the way. So, folks, if you're listening, that person that's doing the same thing you're doing, don't see them as competition. Don't see them as your competitor. Don't avoid them, because they could have some information that you could both grow from. So I really appreciate you bringing that out, Mario. And I had written a book on referral partners, and that's exactly what you're talking about, is finding people who have complementary services that would complement what you do. So I love that. And it's just basic stuff, but somehow I think we miss it.
Absolutely. It's you know, people are really, I wouldn't say they're competitive, at least, you know, not in the bad, you know, in the bad way of being competitive, but they're kind of afraid of losing business. You know, that's probably the main thing.
Yeah.
Or they do have the imposter syndrome, and they're afraid that they're not doing their best. Or they do have other concerns that prohibit them to cooperate with other people. But what I found out is that one of the best things that you can do in order to keep improving yourselves and get better is just join your community. Like, if you're a designer, I'm pretty sure that in your area there are plenty of designer meetups and conferences and different sorts of gatherings. If you're a developer, it's kind of the same thing. It's even branched by technology, by everything. If you're a small business owner, there's a small business bureau with that let you in their network, or there are different communities on Facebook, on Google Plus, on LinkedIn, with like-minded people that have the same problems in a way that let you help one another again and learn from the experience coming from other people. Because the best way to learn is you know, from the experience of someone who have already been there, who have had that problem and tried different things, and based on that, you know, what works and what not. And that sort of cooperation, that sort of being a community person, you know, boost your skills and improve your, you know, increase your knowledge set, and generally keep you in touch with the reality. Because one of the problems with, like, for example, even if when we are hiring, one of the problems with freelancers that have been working solo for about 10 years is that they often lose touch with reality. They do things that were modern 10 years ago but are no longer applicable. But due to the fact that they aren't in touch with other people in their industry, they're unaware that what they do is outdated and is no longer helpful or is even harming a business. And that's pretty challenging, and it's really dangerous both for freelancers and entrepreneurs and for their clients, because you're harming their business and you're harming your as well by not keeping yourself up to date and by being outdated yourself, which is again one of the main reasons why people need to collaborate and cooperate with other people. This way they can grow further, they can take on larger projects by working together, they can tap onto each other's network and so forth. And even now, by being an agency person, our main type of work is basically cooperating with different agencies around the world and providing better service offerings by merging our teams and representing, you know, a better and more professional company with a larger portfolio by combining different mm-hmm. portfolios from each of the companies in the holding, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you bring up another great point there, because as you join communities, folks, and you know I'm big about networking, I'm big about collaboration, whether it's online, whether it's offline, whether it's face-to-face, on the phone, it doesn't make any difference. You have to have connections with others that are in your community just so that you know what's going on. But
absolutely.
I would also encourage you, as you're learning from others, be generous with your information as well. Don't forget to share with those that are coming in that may not know as much as you do. If you learned from someone, you want to be sure that you give back and help those that are coming behind you. Don't you think that's important as well, Mario?
Absolutely. I'm speechless. I have nothing else to add here, really. It's splendid. I mean, that advice is brilliant, really. It's really important to remember that there are people who are starting now, and those are the people. I mean, you were that person 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or 5 years ago. And it's really important that back then, back in the days, there was someone who was able to help you, a mentor or someone who was inspiring you, or, I don't know, a rock star, some celebrity that was like the role model. And it's really important to be a role model for the next generation or for another partner business owner who needs your help, because, you know, that's the only way to get better, you know, by sharing, by helping each other. That's kind of, you know, the best way grow your network and for improving the, you know, the status quo and generally the overall reputation of your business as well. Because, for example, just giving an idea, if you're keeping all of your information to yourself, it means that you're not helping anyone in your community, which means that everyone providing the same type of services is going to provide low quality services, which means that the overall reputation for that kind of job title is going to be ruined because you hadn't shared your information, right? So even if you look, you know, in a selfish way to that, you're not helping yourself either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a very good point, because people don't realize that even that's part of your personal brand. When you're out networking, the way you interact with people, that's still part of your brand. You are your brand. No matter where you go, no matter whether it's on your website, whether it's a blog, whether it is just shaking hands with someone at a chamber meeting or a meetup meeting, it is all critical to your brand. So think about that. If you're not generous there, then your brand is not going to come across as being generous as well. So, you know,
absolutely.
Mario, I know that you work with, you know, WordPress out there, and all of the other technology is always changing as well. How do you stay on top of the changes that are coming down the line and happening so that you can make sure that you deliver your clients exactly what they need?
Right. So in general, when it comes to different technology stacks, like outside of the WordPress area itself, I try to attend different conferences. For example, for I spoke at the PHP conference 2 weeks ago. I'm attending different Java and JavaScript and .NET and whatnot conferences in order to just fit reality and see what the other platforms offer and what would be a better service offering for a given set of clients. That's for outside of the WordPress world. And as it comes to WordPress, my company and I are very proactive when it comes to the WordPress community. We do contribute a lot of WordPress plugins, WordPress themes. We do speak at WordCamps. We do organize conferences. I have co-organized WordCamp Sofia and WordCamp Europe. One of my company employees is co-organizing a WordCamp as well. One of our ladies is translating WordPress to her native language and so forth. So we try to really help the platform and be a part of the overall WordPress community because we know that it's really important and that's one of the main reasons why we are on the market. And since WordPress is an open source product, which means that it's free to use, and we make a living on top of WordPress, it only makes sense to give back to WordPress as well, right? We kind of believe in the Destiny model, and we believe that as long as there's something that's free and it doesn't really require anything from you, the only way for it to survive, the only way for it to be on top of the other technological stacks is for everyone to spend a little time and make it better, be it throughout code or translations or documentation or support or videos or theme reviews or whatnot or anything that could help the platform would help yourself as well. And again, we're kind of getting back to the selfish bit that I mentioned a bit like 2 minutes ago. We know that it's really important to help others and we enjoy doing that, but we can't even afford to stop because if everyone stops, then the platform will not exist, right? And then we have to go and purchase the expensive systems that costs, you know, tens of thousands of dollars instead of using this, which is an open source product. It's free for use and everyone can start, even students and, you know, people who are unable to pay expensive licenses in order to build their website.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, when WordPress first came out, it really didn't have all the bells and whistles that it has now. But it is very robust, and I would imagine that you could build very powerful websites with the WordPress platform.
Absolutely. We actually do specialize in high-end platforms on top of WordPress. For the past 10 days, we had two company launches. The first one was for a technical agency offering different type of products. It was an e-commerce store that we launched. And the second one was a large network of subsites for a large automotive manufacturer in Germany. We also do work on really complicated media websites, university networks. We've built several software service applications on top of WordPress. So basically, we're really bending the reality when it comes to WordPress. We're trying to make high-end, complicated platforms. We have a CRM platform, invoicing software and whatnot built entirely on top of WordPress. Even when I speak at conferences, the presentation software that I'm using is basically a WordPress website that has an animation effect so that each post represents a slide and I can simply move from one post to the other and it looks like PowerPoint.
Wow, that's amazing. Mario, we're getting close to the end of the show, and if someone's listening right now and they think, I think this guy has what it takes to help me with my website or my branding, How would they get in touch with you? How would they hear, find out more information about you and what your company can provide?
Sure. So my company is Devriks. Our website is devriks.com, Devriks with X. And my personal website is devwp.eu, like developerwordpress.europe. I am on Twitter as NoFearInc with underscores as separators. And generally, if people look for Mario Peshev, as far as I know, there aren't very many Mario Peshevs. So it's easy to find my profiles on LinkedIn and Google Plus and other social networks as well. I'm happy to help and answer questions and help fellow entrepreneurs as well.
Awesome. Awesome. That's very helpful, Mario, to know that someone else has been there and grown a company that is now helping large organizations, like you said, the universities and all. So it's very exciting to know that you can start as just an entrepreneur and you can solicit the help of others and really grow a very thriving business, one that supports not just yourself, but other employees as well. So, Mario, we're down to the wire, and I've got those final questions. Are you ready for those final questions here?
Yep, sure.
Fair. So, the first question is, when faced with obstacles, what has kept you going?
So, the main thing is, I felt like making a difference. That's the main thing. Whatever I was doing, I knew that I was helping real people. I was solving real problems, and every single thing that I did was helping someone to solve a problem. That was the main thing that was keeping me to move forward, because I knew that my other alternative was getting back to the old corporate job and being one of the thousands of people who were part of the big picture of a process that's closer to money laundering than to actually solving problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's where so many entrepreneurs decide to step out of corporate. I had been in banking for 30-plus years, and when I stepped out, it was a very different world, but it was certainly something that was more passionate for me. And I think that passion many times drives entrepreneurs into doing something on their own, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So the next question is, how has curiosity played a part in your business and in your life?
I think that curiosity is one of the most important aspects of being a business owner, because there's so much to learn that it's inevitable to be curious in general. You need to learn everything about running a business, about owning a company, about legal, about economics, finances, and whatnot. You need to learn how to communicate. That's a really important skill. You need to teach yourself marketing and sales and try out different strategies and pricing. There's so many different things that you need to do. Also, start growing from when you're the company. You need to deal with HR, with hiring, with project management, with time allocation, with salaries. It's really, it's not complicated. Well, it is complicated, but it's also exciting. But you simply need to be curious in order to take to the next step, and then to the next one, and to the next one, and grow from company employee to entrepreneur, and then to a large company.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Mario, one of the reasons I do this radio show is because I'm able to talk to people, and they are able to share ideas that maybe I didn't think about. So one of the great things about being a part of the community, that, like you had pointed out earlier, is people may know something that you don't know, and it can help you in your business. So curiosity is all about listening and asking those questions in a way that you can get information that about something you didn't even know existed.
Definitely. It's a really important aspect of running a business and basically improving your own skills too. You simply need to be curious and wonder, what can I do better? How can I do it better? How can I do it faster or more beautiful or something else? And that's the way to always constantly improve your skills.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mario, we have so much information at our fingertips today. We have YouTube. We have, all of this information right here at our fingertips. that if you want to know something, all you have to do is type it in and boom, it's delivered right there on your laptop. So there's really no excuse for not getting out there and finding out more information.
It's definitely so much easier than 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So my final question here is, if you could leave our listeners with one marketing tip, and you've been in business, entrepreneur for quite some time, what would that tip be for you? What is it that you wish you had known when you started your business about marketing?
So since it's a marketing question, I need to say that my answer is going to be 1 + 1. So the second one is a bonus because, after all, it's a marketing answer, right? But on a serious note, so the first bit is doing content marketing. As we discussed a bit earlier, sharing and being a community person is incredibly important, and building your own brand means that you need to prove that you're worth it. And nowadays, diplomas and, you know, generally universities and colleges are really not as well accepted in terms of having diploma means that you know, all the different stories about education and MBA diplomas and how expensive they are and often how outdated they are means that all of your certificates or all of your diplomas may not mean anything to someone who is willing to hire you. Just because there are so many people with them, it's somewhat easy to gather them, to earn one or buy one or whatnot. And that said, the only way to actually prove your skills is to do content marketing. To write about your skills, to write about your knowledge, to share how you've solved problems, to help your potential clients. This is the best way to show people who you are, what you understand, what type of problems do you solve, what type of clients are you looking for, and this is also the best way to get indexed online and reach out to potential clients. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, the bonus tip is building freebies. It's really helpful on top of the content marketing materials to build short ebooks or free graphics if you're a designer, or marketing reports or social media reports if you're a marketing person, and so on. Just help clients by building something that makes it really easy for them and actually conveys your skills and builds your reputation, because that kind of freebies, they get viral, they're really easy to share, they get shared in even major media outlets, and people say, wow, this is the person that I'm willing to outsource work to. So these are the two main tips that I'd like to share in terms of marketing. Doing a lot of content marketing, blog writing, and preparing freebies for your clients.
Great, great advice there, Mario, because sometimes I think when we've reached a point that we have learned some things, we think, oh, well, that's not going to be valuable to someone. But just like you had said earlier, there are always people coming in, brand new entrepreneurs every single day that still need to know those basics. So putting together a freebie ebook with the basics, there's always going to be someone out there that can benefit from that. So that is great advice. Great advice there. Now, Mario, one more time. If someone wants more information about you, if they want to hear about different topics that you are an expert in, how would they go about finding out that information?
So you can contact us on devrix.com or devwp.eu. Or Google Mario Peshev. I'll most likely be on top of the first 20 results on Google when you search that.
Wonderful. Mario, thank you again for sharing all of your expertise with our listeners today. And I really look forward to following you and learning more from you, because you've certainly been doing this longer than the average entrepreneur out there. And it's clear that you have you've tested those boundaries. And I tell you, I tell people all the time that being an entrepreneur is not for the faint at heart. It's not going to be easy. But I tell you, if you have that passion that you talked about earlier, you have no other choice. You have to do it, don't you, Mario?
Definitely. It's a lot of hustling. It's a lot of trial and error. And it's not really a recipe book. whatever works, try to make it better. Whatever doesn't, try to refine and, you know, just find whatever works for you.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you again, Mario. I really appreciate it. And please let's keep in touch because I'd like to know what you're up to and see if we can't update our listeners in the near future about what's going on with you.
Sure. Thanks for having me and definitely happy to stay in touch with you and your listeners and, you know, help with entrepreneur advice.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, I tell you, you know, you've heard some great tips from Mario today, and what I want to leave you with is one of the last things that he mentioned here, and I always like to leave you with a quote, but I believe this is going to be more important for you than a quote that I could give you. The best way for you to build your company is to actually prove your skills by writing, by talking, by showing what you know. No one is going to know that you are an expert out there. No one is going to know about you. Don't expect to put out a website and expect people to find you. You have to do so much more than that. So you write articles, you write blogs, you make comments on LinkedIn, Facebook, on Twitter, just to show your expertise. Show your knowledge so that people will know that you're an expert, and when they need that service, then they're going to be thinking about you. Just like when you get ready to build your website, you're going to be thinking about Mario, I am sure. So, folks, thanks again for joining us here on Empower, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Join Linda Ballesteros again next time for another interview with the small business experts in the know. Empower Radio is for the entrepreneur and small business owner who want to go to the next level using the power of online marketing. Each week we discuss a different aspect of online marketing. Find us online at empowerradioshow.com. Thanks for listening.